The rule of law in our country is being weakened through frequent aggressive attacks by radical progressives. You can count on AFA Action to let you know how our constitutional religious freedoms are being destroyed. You can join the fight by responding to Action Alerts and by giving to AFA Action today. When you do, you'll help protect our rights and you'll get free access to David Barton's mini-documentary, God in the Constitution. Find out more and give at afaaction.net.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Alex McFarland and Bert Harper, and you're listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. And today is a special show, and I'll tell you, in recent days, we finished up the book of Ephesians, and we are going to start on Monday, very special study, the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is one of those kind of Mount Everest chapters of the Bible, like the book of Romans. I almost said the Gospel of Romans. But we have been going over some topics, and we've talked about the Trinity, and we've talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Today, in homage to the great holiday coming up Sunday, we're going to talk about fathers. And Bert, let me share a scripture or two. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." And I want to tell you that thank the Lord for godly young people. Thank the Lord for godly women and mothers and Christian ladies. But I will tell you, an absolute nation can be impacted when we have godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers. And Bert, I just love your idea that we take time today, and let's look at what the Word of God says about fathers.
Alex, this morning I was listening to AFR and a program that was on family, Dr. Dobson, you know, Family Talk.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It was talking about the Industrial Revolution took fathers out of the home, whereas they'd been there, they were farmers, they were blacksmith, even if they were businessmen, or if they were they had their store and their home was with behind the store, kind of like it was on Little House on the Prairie with the Olsons, you know.
And I love that show.
Yeah, and the Industrial Revolution took fathers out of the home, and fathers began to isolate themselves, and so we today, with our modern way of make a living, fathers traveling, you got to be creative for fathers to be involved in the home. And they got to do our friend, Abraham Hamilton, he talks about it after he gets through with his program that's on from 5 to 6 Central Time. He'll talk about it. He said, well, it's time for me to go home and do my real job. And that's Amen. Being the husband and father of his children. And there's so much truth in that. The other scripture I'd like, and it's in the last verse of the Old Testament. I know you know it. And I know it's talking about John the Baptist coming back, but I love what it says there in chapter 4, verse 6 of Malachi. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Well, when you do not have the father being the father he needs to be, the children responding in such a way, it is difficult. It's hard. It is like a curse. And so we are saying, fathers, those of you, what a responsibility you have, what a privilege you have. And, you know, Alex, we want to encourage it. We're not trying to browbeat. I hope nobody hears you and me trying to browbeat fathers. Say, you're not what you should be. You ought to be doing better. We're doing our best to share with you the Word of God and encourage those fathers. If those fathers are out there and they're isolated from a child or children, because of the past, listen, we want to encourage them to pray about it, have others to pray about it, and say, oh, God, give me creativity in order to bridge this gap that has occurred. And sometimes it's one person, but most of the time it's the responsibility of both parties, kind of like in a You know, when you're running a relay race and you hand the baton off, it's got to be handed off and it's got to be received, doesn't it, Alex?
It really does. And, you know, the chain goes on from, like it says, you know, the fathers to the children. You know, we've shared, and I know we'll share some verses. By the way, I want to give the number because later on in the program, I'd love to hear some testimonies of the impact of your father, the godly impact. You know, so often we hear negative things, but, you know, let's be honest. It was our parents that God used to bring us into this world. And, you know, I guess I've often thought about, even in the case of my own dad, my dad was a great Christian man. He was an elder in our church for probably 50 years. And there's a lot of things I could tell you. He was, my dad was the son of an alcoholic. And I'm told that my grandfather, you know, battled alcohol. And that's why my dad, and my dad was a World War II vet. And he was not, you know, a real touchy-feely guy. I mean, he was a very masculine, a man's man. But I learned a lot about character, about honesty, a lot about Jesus. And, you know, one thing I want to say, one of the things that made the biggest impact on me, Bert, from my dad, but my dad, he was not a theologian. He was a farmer. But in the early 80s, when the denomination we were in at that time was really going through a theological battle, and I didn't understand any of this. I was just 14, 15 years old. But there was a guy from the denomination, and the church was packed, and something came up about the virgin birth of Christ. And at this point, the church we were in was leaning liberal, although I didn't even know what that meant at that point. But I will never forget, Bert, and I have this picture in my mind. My dad got up in front of probably 300 people by himself, and he said, the virgin birth, it's in Isaiah 7:14, it's in the Gospels. Jesus had to be born of a virgin because to be our Savior, he had to be sinless. And if God could create this universe, I'll bet he could cause Mary the virgin to carry a child. And years later, I would learn what a valid argument that was.
Amen.
And my dad probably never heard the word apologetics, well, till I came along and got into it, but he was defending the faith. And I think about that I want to be on record, and I want to thank God for a daddy that was a believer, but in his own way, he was a soul winner and a defender of the faith.
Amen.
And thank you, Jesus, for that kind of a dad.
Yes, Alex. And let me go along with that with my dad, John Maurice Harper. And he was a godly man. He was the father of 9 children. I was the 9th one. A godly man, a good man, a farmer, not well-educated, but full of wisdom. The Word Amen. Of God had penetrated his life, changed his life, helped him in so many ways. He had flaws, he had fears, but he had strengths. And those strengths were just such a blessing to me. And but it also, during those early years of my life, because church fuss and church splits, and that's the reason I hate them so much, need to do our best to listen, make it if it's something worth fighting over, yes, you take your stand. But over the color of the carpet, over this, that, and the other, listen, let those things lie. But my dad was out of church. But I found out a godly man, a good man, out of church the first 10 years of my life. But then he got back, and I saw, as a 12-year-old boy, I saw my dad walk the aisle and unite with Wheeler Baptist Church, church I was saved in, and apologize, ask for forgiveness for what he had done in those last 10 years of not being the man he should have been. Took a lot of guts. 2 weeks after my dad did that, his 12-year-old son named Bert Harper was saved. It was years before I would connect it. I think when I saw the strength of my dad, what he did, the bravery that he demonstrated in doing such a thing, it really penetrated my heart. And so praise God for good dads. And I know we have people out there that do not have that testimony, but listen, you don't have to continue being a bad dad. You, whoever you are, turn it around, break the chains, and be the dad that God wants you to be. You do that first by knowing Jesus as your Savior, letting Him lead your life, let God be God in your life, and demonstrate that to your family, care for them, pray for them. And that's what we're praying that this show would do today, would encourage those that are not doing it to say, man, I need to get on board. I need to be the man. I need to man up. And we're not going to apologize for it being masculine a little bit here on this program today, because we need some men to really stand up and be the godly men that is needed in families, in our churches, in our communities, and in our nation, and in our world today, Alex.
Well, yeah, the Bible says this in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And part of the reason that we emphasize family, this is the American Family Association. I mean, literally, the word family is at the center of what we're all about. But here's the thing. God gave the world this wonderful gift called marriage and family. The greatest gift is the gospel. But Francis Schaeffer was a great Christian thinker some years ago, and he said, in the home, God prepares our hearts for the gospel. Bert, I think this is one of the reasons that family has been so vehemently under attack over the last, you know, few decades of our culture, because Satan knows if he can destroy the family, that will imperil millions of souls. So I want to say this, folks, if you love the Lord, you care about the Great Commission, you want to see America restored, be a champion for family. We say this in our conferences, the greatest favor a man could ever do his children is to love their mother.
Amen.
Right? I mean, really. And Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bert, when a child grows up till age 18 in a Christian home with a godly father who is true to the mother, and a godly mother who that marriage bond is inseparable. Listen, a two-parent biological mother and father Christian home, then I'm not going to worry so much what philosophies are on the campus, because the child that comes out of a loving, biblical Christian family, not completely, I don't want to overstate, but one of the best vaccines to inoculate a child against the unbelief of this world is a Christian mom and daddy.
Amen, Alex. How true that is. Again, let me just be personal here about myself. When I went to college, and that was back in the 70s, so it's, 50 years ago, 40-something years ago in some cases. But I heard philosophies back then concerning the world, and because of the base that I had at my home and what I learned at the church where I grew up, I don't know how else to say it. I spit those briars out. I knew.
Yeah.
I said,
amen.
I had to write it down and give the information concerning what they were teaching, but I did not absorb it because, listen, he is able to tear down those strongholds. He's able to build up those thoughts in your heart and your life and make them real to you, and you can stand on it. And having a father and mother that's following the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot think of anything that would be stronger. I know it's cliche, but he made the family before he gave the church. Adam and Eve.
Amen.
That's it. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And listen, that's what we want to do today. You're listening to Exploring the Word, and we're talking about fathers this Wednesday before Father's Day this coming Sunday. And we're going to have some more Bible verses that will help you in this journey. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories. that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Amen. Amen. Brent, thank you, brother. Matter of fact, that introduces something that I wanted to say. We're talking about fathers today. And like Alex has said, I have said we've had good fathers. My wife, Jan, on the other hand, her dad left early in her life. And it hurt and difficult was from that. But I want to tell you, at around 10, 11 years old, she had already been saved. And she was having a crisis in her life for her as a 10 or 11-year-old. And she found out before she knew the verse that God is a father to the fatherless. And she was praying, and she said, I know you're my Savior, but I need a father. Would you be my daddy? And God really has, she has said, I had the best father growing up anybody could ever have. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are listening, and you say, I don't have a good father. I wasn't blessed like you and Alex were, Bert. I came from a place where I was even hurt and pain is filled with my memories of my dad. I want to tell you, Jesus, he will be a father to the fatherless. He will bless you beyond measure, and he will help you and strengthen you. And so, yes, he's a good, good father. Alex, what a song. Brent, thank you again for picking that out. He is a good, good father, Alex.
Amen, amen. You know, I've heard testimonies like that, and thank God. I mean, isn't that just beautiful how Jan would lean on Jesus? And listen, one of the most beautiful things about being a Christian is we do realize that the Lord Jesus is faithful. He is father to the fatherless. He is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. But also, we learn how to forgive. In Jesus, we learn about grace. But to the men listening, you know, by the way, maybe there are people listening and your kids are grown or you're, you know, past the years of bringing children up, you can be a role model. I want to give a scripture here, if I could, in Genesis 18, 18 and 19. You know, in so many ways, Moses and David and Solomon in the Old Testament were figures that we are to emulate, although our faith is in Jesus, but Abraham, too, you know, the father of a great nation. Well, it says in Genesis 18, that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, because through Abraham and the Jewish people would come Jesus. Now, here's a great template for any father. For I know him, God says, I know him, and Abraham will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he hath spoken or promised him. But here's what we desire in our children, and it takes teaching, it takes consistency, it takes role modeling, it takes being in church, it takes being a faithful husband. Look, this is what any father would pray for his children, that they would keep the way of the Lord. And this thing about justice and judgment, well, it really means in Genesis 18, 19, first of all, the word justice in the original language is literally righteousness, which speaks of godliness, being saved, living as a Christian. And then judgment, which sometimes is translated wisdom, but also moral character. And Bert, wouldn't that be, that's success in parenting, that your kids keep the way of the Lord, that they know they're saved, they're building their life on God's word, they understand that the greatest riches you have is moral character, which God gives. Yeah, you know, Bert, I think character and health, it's been said that your health is your first wealth. But I want to tell you, money, material things, stuff, that's not true riches. It's your relationship with Jesus. It's your moral character that you live out. And my goodness, how desperately that is needed in this day and age. The gifts of God, character, salvation, health, family, these are the true riches and true blessings. And I think it's a wise father that helps his kids understand these things.
Amen, Alex. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That's the way, training and training. The father is a player coach. He's not just telling them. He's in the game with them. He's there instructing, sharing, and that's what he does. And if you want to model again, so you don't have what it takes to be the father, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and it talks about that, the precious promises of the Lord. And it says, given all diligence, add to your faith. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. If you're not born again, those of you who are listening, dads, moms, sons, and daughters, you need Jesus Christ as Savior. He is a friend that stays closer than a brother. Like Alex said earlier, he will guide you. He is the one. And it says, add to your faith. And the first thing you add is virtue or character. And you were talking about that, Alex. And then you add knowledge. Why is it so important to have character before knowledge? It's because, listen, you're a new creature in Christ. The old is past, the new have come. There's things that's different in your life, and that's demonstrated. And if it's not demonstrated, then no matter how much knowledge you might have and add to it, it's really not the great foundation that it needs. And you can go ahead and read that. Those things you add to your faith. Make sure you're saved. And then I want to tell you, you're ready to train your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord, to demonstrate it, to ask them to do it. Now, Alex, one more thing, and I know you have other verses, but I want to talk about examples in the Bible of fathers. And you've already mentioned Moses, how he probably had 5 million children there on the desert following him and Abraham. Yes. But you had some that had some flaws. They were good character. Eli would ignore his sons and what they were doing and did not draw them in and say, listen, sons, what you're doing is wrong. You don't need to ignore those things. And those men out there that has children still at home, and your wife is there, the mother, she usually has some intuition that God's given her feelings. We men, we say, we want just the facts, just the facts. But sometimes we can't see the facts when there's difficulty, when there's a spirit of rebellion. But the mother has a sense that something's going on, so you work that together. And then we talk about Jacob. He was a good father, but his problem was he played favorites. Do your best not to play favorites with your children. One of the greatest funerals I've ever been to was somebody I didn't really know real well, but I was friends to the man's grandson. And one of the grandsons got up there, and all the grandchildren had been talking. You know how you do at a funeral, Alex? And every one of them thought they were the grandfather's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had made such an impression on them. And every one of them thought, man, I'm my granddad's favorite. Listen, do your best to be the favorite of all the children, of your grandchildren. And then when God was selecting a man for where Jesus Christ would be raised up in his home, he selected Joseph, a man of so much character. I know Joseph doesn't get a lot of press in the Christmas story, Alex, and I understand, and I understand that.
But we've tried to rectify that a little bit.
We have, because you and I really talk a good bit about it. But, man, what a man he was. He wanted to do that was right, and he was trying to do it, but he was willing to listen to the Lord and say, Lord, what you think about it and what you say about it is more important than what I think or what I would do. I want to follow you, and he did. Alex, those fathers that you mentioned in the Bible, there's some good points that those fathers who are listening today, they'll get wisdom if they'll stay in the Word of God to help them be the fathers they need to be, won't they?
Amen. Amen. You know, I've quoted this many times, but I would encourage as we get towards Father's Day, Read Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13. And, of course, Deuteronomy 6 is, it's called the Shema, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I don't know if my southern mispronunciation of Hebrew
It sounds good to me, okay? Yeah. It sounds good to me. Go ahead.
It's this great Jewish declaration of monotheism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's one God, not many gods. And we will put his word before our eyes. We'll bind it as frontlets, you know, before our eyes. We'll put it on the doorpost of our house. I've been in a lot of houses where they might have a plaque on the wall or something, or even a little phylactery on the door jamb, you know, Deuteronomy 6. And that's really good that the man is to lead out on this. And it says, you know, you're going to teach it to your children. And when you sit down and rise up, you know, the Lord our God is one, Deuteronomy 6. But then over in Exodus 13, this is so beautiful, folks, and it's very powerful. And men, let the life you exude and the role model that you are prompt this, that it says, you know, in Exodus 13, when it comes to pass that your son will ask you, why do we do these things? That you will say, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, God with a strong hand delivered us from the bondage of Egypt. The point is, what Exodus 13 is really saying is that you as a Christian dad, you're living in such a way that your son and daughter is going to say, how do I have the relationship with God that you have? You know, when it comes to pass, your son says, why do we do these things? Why do we go to church when maybe the other families on our street sleep in on Sunday morning? Well, there's a reason. Why do I give 10% of my allowance? And why do we teach tithing from a young age? Why does mom and dad have, you know, our daily bread or open windows or a daily devotional? Why do we say the blessing before dinner? And we, you know, the dad as a dad is a loving father and a daddy. A dad teaches the son how to throw a baseball, but also the dad is an authority figure, that we have standards, and I don't mean, you know, a dictator or ruling with a rod of iron, but kids need structure. Bert, when I worked for James Dobson, I used to hear Dr. Dobson teach on this, and he was head of pediatric psychiatry at UCLA Medical School for many years. But kids, they really do want structure. And although children, maybe they couldn't articulate this, but just loosey-goosey, no boundaries, that in a way communicates really a lack of love. And so I think it's a beautiful thing when the dad is a disciplinarian, I mean in a principled way, a loving, redemptive way, because kids, Lord knows I needed it, still do, but I needed correction. And doesn't the Bible say that a loving father will correct his children? You know? And so, men, if being a father and a husband and leading a household and spiritually the priest of the home, like Exodus 13, sounds like a tall order, I know, but God will help you do it. And that's what God designed men for.
Amen. That great word, Alex. Let me share this with you. One of your mentors, Josh McDowell, he's the first one I heard say it. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion.
That's true.
You do have these boundaries. They're important. They're parameters. They're so important. But you also want to build that relationship. And notice that in the great Shema that you read in Deuteronomy, as you go out, as you come in. In other words, you need to, I was not a hunter, but I went hunting with my sons. I'm not a great fisherman, but I went fishing with my sons. I'm not a golf player, but I went golfing with my sons. Why did I do that? It's not because I was all in it. My sons were in it, and relationships were built in the woods. Those relationships was built on the creek bank. Those relationships were built on the golf course. And we'd spend time together, yes, and then I would do my best to include them in ministry at Christmas time. We would get children that we would help. And Jan and I would involve them in the car, and we would go and deliver those Christmas presents to those families that we had, quote, adopted and taken up to include them. And I want to just tell you, those relationships are built in. Yes, they're in the home, but I remember what Dr. Dobson said. He said, I think I learned more from my dad when we were out hunting than any other time, that he was a wise man. He knew things, and we grew close together. So listen, those rules without relationships, build those relationships with your children, with your grandchildren, and they will strengthen and it will help. And then those boundaries that are set up, Alex, it really helps them to know that they're loved, and those boundaries is for their own benefit. But when it comes from someone that they know cares and has time for them, it really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. It really does. Like you say, you know, more is caught than taught. Folks, here's the number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Do you have a cherished memory about your godly daddy, or maybe something you learned? Maybe you just want to praise God for family. As we look towards Father's Day, let's pray for the state of the family, and we look forward to your calls when we come back after this.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Where are the leaders? Where are the teachers? Where are the keepers of every home? There's an emergency greater than any other. Where are the fight for their own, calling all fathers, run to your children. We've fallen asleep and darkness has come. We will find strength in the name of Jesus, calling all fathers.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Brent Austin, as always, picking out really great music. Kudos, Brent. Calling all fathers, wake up, and in Jesus, we'll do that. Well, the number is 888-589-8840. We're talking about fathers, and Father's Day is Sunday. I hope you'll be in church Sunday, and maybe you can be with your dad. Maybe your dad's in heaven, and you just pray and thank the Lord that you'll see him again one day. Maybe you need to make a phone call and, with the help of the Holy Spirit, show grace, show love, do a little fence mending. I don't know. But we're celebrating God's gift of fatherhood this day. And Bert, we're taking calls and hearing testimonies. Folks, if you want to share something, the number is 888-589-8840. 589-8840. And Bert, where should we begin?
Let's go to Virginia and talk to David. David, thank you for calling today.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Thank you for calling, David.
Oh, thank you. Raise him and praise him, for he is holy. So my dad is in heaven, and he died in 2000. I was unsaved at that point, but I got saved in 2003. And I always worried, you know, was my dad in heaven? And because he, you know, he had changed. He was addicted to drugs. And, you know, I just didn't know. And one night I had a dream. My dad was a mechanic. He was a very good mechanic, excellent mechanic back in the day. And I had a dream that I was in the corner of a parking lot. and it was dark, but there was one light, a very bright light, and my 2005 Nissan Titan wouldn't start, and my dad was there. And when he was talking in the dream, it was all scripture. It was like, I don't know what words he was saying, but when I woke up, the burden in my heart was gone. And I just remembered that what it sounded like, he was saying scripture. And I never, you know, after that dream, I never even thought about, you know, whether or not my dad was saved or not. I believe he's in heaven with Jesus.
Amen, David. Mm. Thank you for that. Listen, God still uses dreams. He does. Now, he has a clearer message, the Word of God. But God has used some dreams in people's lives even today. David, thank you for that, and praise God. Thank you for calling, too. Let's go to West Virginia and talk to Ed. Ed, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for your program. I enjoy it a lot. I had some great parents, godly parents. We were in church two times on Sunday and Wednesdays. And of course, I'm an old guy now, and they've been gone for a while. But one real good memory that I have of my dad is that he would wake up real early during the week to go to work, and he would sometimes wake me up when he got up because I heard him moving around. And when I would get up, of course, I'd probably have to go to the bathroom or something. I was in my teens at the time. And when I'd leave the bedroom, go to the bathroom, which was across the hall from me, I'd look down the hallway into the living room. And I would see my dad on his knees at the sofa praying. And that's like a memory I can never forget. And I appreciate God for bringing me there.
Ed, thank you. Amen. Alex, wow.
Praise God.
I've heard more stories about moms being on their knees, but Ed sharing that about a dad being on his knees, what a testimony, isn't it, brother?
Amen. And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I'm holding one of my dad's Bibles, and, you know, it's underlined, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of underlines that my dad must have done. And who would have known that one day, decades after he had this Bible, I'd be on Exploring the Word, getting to read from it. God is so good to us, folks. He really is. The number is 888-589-8840. Bert, where shall we go next?
Let's go to Missouri and talk to Jill. Jill, thank you for calling Exploring the Word today.
Thank you. I have a wonderful memory. First of all, both of my parents and I sort of grew up together. They had me at a young age. We worked and we played together, so we all three bonded. But a very fond memory I have is when I was about 17, my mom, dad, and I were all three studying to be private pilots. And this one weekend, we went out to our local airport where we took our training, and a bunch of the other private pilot men were in a huddle. And when they saw my dad drive up in the car with my mother and me, they hollered, "Hey, Brownie, how come you got your wife and kid with you?" And my father said, "I love having my wife and daughter with me."
Amen.
And I have never forgotten that. What a man my dad is or was.
Amen, Jill. Amen. I would say spending time with that wife and daughter paid dividends, Alex.
That's wonderful. And let me just say, every kid wants affirmation. Just an attaboy or a pat on the back, and to hear your dad say, "I want my wife and child with me." I mean, you remember it after all these years. What a beautiful thing.
It is.
let's keep these testimonies coming.
Let's go to Daniel in Mississippi. Thank you, Daniel, for calling.
Hey, thank y'all for taking my call. First time caller. I drive home from New Orleans every day, and my dad has a lot to do with me coming to the Lord. Our relationship was good as a child, and as I became a teenager, things got dark, and my parents went through a divorce. But the Lord has used my dad coming to him in 2012 now. He came to the Lord in 2012, and from the time of being a teenager to going through adulthood, and I'm 39 now, and I came to the Lord in 2020, and I went through some hardships as an adult, and my dad, I just noticed a huge change in his life, and I mean, I didn't notice it right away. As the years went, I was like, something has happened to him. And he doesn't want to do the same things that he once did, which, you know, we shared sports together. We loved football and all that. And we just came to an acknowledgement of Jesus. Like, I was like, what has happened to you? And I need to know what you got going on, because I was going through some trying times in my life. And sure enough, I started looking more into it. And he gave me a Bible in 2017. And in 2017, I was going through drug use. I mean, I overdosed in 2017. And then full circle all the way up to 2020, that's when my eyes were fully open to the Lord. He put it on my heart to marry the woman that I had children with. And once I married my wife, now 4 years, he fully came into my life, and I was radically changed overnight.
Amen.
And, He's had me in the pulpit preaching.
Amen. Hey, Daniel. Amen, brother. What our journeys, they may be different, but the way to heaven is the same. It's only through Jesus Christ, and you have shared that well. Thank you, brother. Continue growing in the Lord. Continue serving him, brother. Thank you for calling.
Amen.
Let's go to Illinois, Alex, and talk to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your show. I got a memory about my granddad. He was a plasterer, and he had to plaster underneath my great-grandpa for 7 years as an apprentice before he was allowed to, you know, carry on and be just like them. And in the summers, I was allowed to help them when I was a young teenager. And all I did was mix mud and taking buckets, you know.
Yeah.
But one summer, he said, this house, you're going to get to do the closet. We're going to let you do the closet. And so I plastered that closet, and I did the best I thought I could do. And he come in and checked it, and he said, look, did you do the best you could in this closet? And I said, yeah, it's a closet, Granddad. You know, when you get all the clothes in it and everything's in there, you're not going to see the little mistakes and everything. And he said, son, every job you do, that's God's closet. I don't care if you're doing that.
Amen.
Or if you're digging a ditch, cleaning a toilet, it's all God's. So if you do the best you can with that, then you can put your head on the pillow. You're not always going to please man, but if you're pleasing God, you can always just put your head on a pillow and know you served him.
Amen. Amen. But Alex, man, this is a blessing, isn't it?
It is. It is. I did a funeral on Monday, and this stepson gave a testimony, and he said, you know, the man taught me about the Lord, and he said, but he also taught me to have a work ethic.
Amen. Well, amen.
And see, these are the things a father can impart.
They can. Well, let's hear another one from Teresa from Ohio. Teresa, thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. It's great to talk to you.
Well, it's great that you could call. Thank you.
I love your show, and I love your station. I listen all the time. I want to tell you about my dad. In his 40s, he developed Alzheimer's, and he died in his mid-60s. And he was a troubled man when he was, you know, younger, before he had Alzheimer's. And he ended up in a nursing facility. And one day, I'm sitting by his bedside, and he's in bed, And by this time, he didn't talk anymore, and he's rocking from head to toe. He would just rock back and forth. And I told him about the Lord and salvation, and I said, how about it, Dad? Would you like to be in heaven with Jesus when you pass on? And he said, well, certainly. That was what he said.
Amen.
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 Praise
Amen,
God.
Amen, Teresa. Amen. Listen, God is doing a work in fathers' lives. Read Malachi, the last chapter, last verse, and you'll be blessed. Thank you, Teresa. Let's go to Michael in Virginia. Michael, go right ahead.
Praise the Lord, Brother Alex and Bart. I'd like to share the memories of my dad. We were born, 12 of us, in very rural Kenya. And if there's one thing that my dad did, he made sure that we had enough fees, school fees, to attend school as much as we could and attend church on Sunday. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I'd like to say that my dad continued, and each one of us got an education. Amen. And those who listened are still good parents, and my dad lived to be 102. But
wow.
He has since gone to be with the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen, Michael. 12. I won't say a word Praise about me God. Being the ninth of nine. That the 12 is awesome. Praise God. Kenya. Thank you, Michael,
Glory
for
God.
Calling. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Chris. Chris, thank you for calling today.
Hello. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thank you that you'd call and share today.
Well, enjoy the show. One of my earliest memories is in church that with my father and mother. Before I even started school, I remember being 4 years old in church, and my dad always lived by a good example, and he just recently passed away. And as I got older and here lately, he was not going to church, but still, you know, just an outstanding man. And now when he went to the hospital and he fell ill and eventually passed, I was always wondering about his faith, and I asked my mom, and you know where he was. My mother said that he gave his life to Christ back in the 70s, but I was also just wondering, since he wasn't going to church and doing maybe some of the things I know there's a lot of things we all should be doing. I just kind of, you know, wondering if he's with the Lord and that's just something I kind of struggle with. But
Chris, let me share this with you. Let's do our thing and let our walk and our talk match up. Jody from Arkansas, listen, if you'll call tomorrow, we'll get your testimony on. I guarantee you, because we'll take calls tomorrow. Alex, what a show. What a program. God was in it, wasn't he?
Amen. Folks, thank you for listening. And we thank God for the love, yes, of our earthly fathers, but we thank God for our Heavenly Father who sent His Son, Jesus, who would die and rise again. The Spirit of the Lord opens our eyes, draws us. By putting our faith in Jesus, we become a child of the King. No matter who you are today, be a child of the King by knowing Jesus. He's as close by as a prayer. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow with more Exploring the Word. In the meantime, keep your radio tuned to AFR, and may God bless you in all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
when a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.